Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as you utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in our work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when owning your wellness has never been more important. And as such, we have with us today a most special guest. Her name is Daniela Deyoub Forrest. Daniela is a personal trainer and health coach who has worked in health and wellness for over two decades, including many years in Silicon Valley. She helps clients navigate ever-changing health and wellness advice and distill it into actionable, personalized plans. She has helped people of all ages, disease states, and states of mind understand that wellness strategies must constantly evolve and change. Her role as a mom, a wife, and entrepreneur, as well as her own battles with health issues, have shaped her philosophy toward health and wellness. Now, besides all this going on, she's a great author. She's written a very timely book, Own Your Wellness, giving you the tools to break through your health plateaus. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Daniela.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Good morning to you.
Ah, the honor is all ours. Please share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from this morning, please.
Palo Alto, California.
Oh my goodness gracious, what a small world. I was in big pharma for 29 years and I had to do a little business with the former Syntex Corporation when the company I worked for
Okay.
acquired them all the way back in the early 90s. So, I must say you've made the hosts and the listeners jealous. What a beautiful part of the country and the world.
Oh, it really is. It's really amazing here.
No
I'm not
question
gonna lie.
about that. Daniela, sorry to say we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking with you about your amazing life, this wonderful book. We're going to jump right in the deep end of the pool. From the outset, you clearly define what you see as the greatest obstacle to optimal health, that people want easy answers. In other words, tell me what to do, when to do it. Why do so many people give up control of their health and wellness? Help us out here, please.
It's very simple. We're just all overwhelmed. I mean, the people who I work with in general are extremely competent, very well read, hyper intelligent, run their own companies often, run a household, taking care of ailing parents, taking care of children. And we run into decision fatigue. It's exhausting to be CEO of your life all the time.
Sure.
And you're making these big decisions about how to move your health forward. And you just want someone to tell you what to do, Like, I don't want to have to make this decision for myself. So I understand why people ask me to be explicit in my instructions. But the problem with that is then I'm not, they're not owning up to their own lives and their health. I'm the one in charge of it.
This is so fascinating because, as you heard in our intro, Thank God for Monday is really built on personal responsibility, taking accountability, ownership. And that's why when we saw this book, Own Your Wellness, Lisa, we've got to get you on the show
I
because
love
this
it.
is what you're all about. So thank you again for being our very, very special guest today. Now, as a follow-up question to just what we shared, why do these individuals, or what do they need to do to not only attain that power, if you will, but to keep it?
It starts with twofold steps. Number one, you have to set a clear goal. Not just, I want to get in better shape, but a very specific, actionable goal that you can track, right? So I want to be able to do 10 push-ups from my toes, whatever it is. Like, you pick your goal, make sure it's specific and actionable. But more importantly than that is that you tie it to why you want to accomplish that goal, right? So it's one thing to say, I'd like to get rid of my belly fat so that I can get back into my size 32 pants, right? Okay, well, that's awesome. I'm sure you'll look good and feel good. But then what happens when you go to a party and you want to indulge in all the goodies? What happens when the holidays? And it's easier for you to go, you know what? It's all right. I don't get back into those size 32s. I'm good. Instead, if you then tie that goal to, if I lose the belly fat, I'm less likely to have heart disease. And I'm more likely to be here for my family in 10 years. I'm less likely to have diabetes and not be a burden to my children as we get older. If you can tie your goal, even if it's a relatively vain goal, to a very emotionally charged reason, then your recipe for success increases greatly.
That is absolutely amazing. Certainly, I know I need to keep that in mind. Our listeners do as well. That was very interesting. I'm certainly no expert. I'm a real novice in this area. But many of the most well-intentioned diet fitness plans, they sputter when people like me slip back into bad eating habits, become disappointed when the desired results don't materialize. Help us out, please, Daniela. Why is this such a frequent problem?
Okay, well, first you figure out your why, your reason for accomplishing it. So that's going to help you, first of all. But after that, you've got to have a better, there has to be some strategy. I have a lot of people who come to me. Usually I hear from people in the spring. They've set a New Year's resolution, and then they tried a new diet program, new supplements, new workout, and then they just got overwhelmed and they gave up, right? So it's not working. I need help. Well, part of their problem was implementing too many strategies at once. So I help people through the book and in my coaching to, okay, let's start with one new thing. Let's get that going for a few weeks, see if it's working for you. If it's not working for you, we need to get rid of it and try something else. If it is working for you, you're going to hit a plateau, and then we're going to layer in the next piece, right? And what is that next piece, right? So having a good strategy is critically important. And I actually encourage people to be almost sort of scientific about it, to have, that's why there's so many charts within the book, so that people can plot out what they're doing and why and how they're going to get there. The other thing that I think a lot of people, the trap people fall into, is this all or nothing mentality. I'm on the path, I'm on the path, I'm doing good. Uh-oh, I made a boo-boo. Oh, shoot, I have to start all over again, right? Well, instead of starting all over again, you could just think about it as, okay, it was just a little speed bump in my road to health, right? Enjoy the little break and then keep driving. Don't just, the speed bump's not supposed to deter your entire trip. It's just supposed to slow you down for a minute, and that's okay. It's okay to have those.
Yeah, it's very interesting you mentioned that. I feel better as a result already of our conversation because there are times when I'll say, gee, I'm going to give this up maybe for 2 weeks or a month. And then maybe a week into it, I have a slip.
Right.
And as you say, inferred, I can get all frustrated. But instead of that, saying,
Right.
okay, it's a little speed bump, as you say, keep going, don't turn back.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure, maybe you encounter this talking to people about their faith. If you step out of your path, maybe have some thoughts that aren't ideal, or you just stray from it altogether for a while. That doesn't mean you can't come back and get back into alignment. It's not an all or nothing proposition.
Thank you. That is a tremendous analogy I would have never considered. It's okay with you. I'm going to use that from now on. That's really
I'm
beautiful,
sure.
certainly. Now, it's interesting you mentioned the word supplements because it seems right now a very, very big topic is supplements. And you go into great depth about minerals, vitamins, other supplements. What are they? What they do? Where they fit into a wellness plan? Why did you feel in this great book of yours it was so important to do such a deep dive into supplements? Share much more with us,
Oh,
please.
well, because I get questions about pills and potions almost every single day.
Really? Wow.
Well, it's so much easier to get somebody. People are very much willing to spend an extra $30 to try the new supplement of the day that they think is going to be this panacea that's going to make them feel better, right? Or their friend took it and then they lost 10 pounds or whatever it is, I have the time with my one-on-one clients to, okay, well, let's take a look at this supplement. How does it fit into your goals? Is it going to help support that path? Does it conflict with something else that you're taking? Is it going to cause other nutrient deficiencies, et cetera? But for the average person, I wanted to lay out for them some simple basic information about these supplements. What is the difference between a water-soluble and a fat-soluble vitamin? What is the difference between a vitamin and a mineral? And then I go into detail about a few other things, but most importantly, I give them a strategy for figuring out, okay, do I need to take this thing? Is it going to support me? Now, if I decide to take three new supplements, for example, which one do I start with first? What is the
Oh.
lowest dose that I can take of that? Let me try that for a little while before I go up to the maximal dose. And then if that's working, then I can go to the second supplement. But if I have people take, three new supplements this week, and then they're nauseous and they're not sleeping or whatever, I don't know which one was the problem or which dosage was the problem.
Oh, this is fascinating. Maybe this is a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Are there some people that come to you maybe who are taking supplements who really shouldn't be taking them or taking less? Do you ever find
For
that?
sure, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think I tell a story in the book about a woman I went to visit up in Portola Valley, who was just—I mean, the cupboard. Was, now, keep in mind, I take a lot of supplements. I know why I'm taking them. There's a reason behind them, but I've never seen more supplements in my life. And she honestly didn't remember why she was taking most of them. Quite a few
Oh.
were expired. A lot of them were conflicting. And she's an egregious example. But yeah, I think that a lot of people just, they walk into the store and they think, you know what, I need to be taking fish oil, and they grab something off the shelf. Well, honestly, I go into detail in the book, but like, you don't want to be taking fish oil off of a shelf after this has been heated and cooled and heated and cooled and oh,
Oh, wow.
so you can actually, these are not benign things. Nutraceuticals are powerful. I suggest them to clients for a reason. That said, they can also be very detrimental if taken in the wrong combinations or in the wrong manner. Maybe you're not absorbing it. Using fish oil again as the example, if you're not eating it, taking it with food, you're not going to absorb the fish oil very well,
Oh, wow.
So, there's a lot to consider, and I tried to, that was a hard chapter to write, but I tried really hard not to bombard people with the information, but to just give them some simple suggestions to fine-tune their regimen.
You did a beautiful job of putting this in a language even someone like me, who's a terrible reader, can understand and absorb and practice, certainly. Let's talk a little bit more about diet and nutrition. Because you talk about how we should, quote unquote, nourish ourselves. Please explain how this approach is different, maybe from other health and wellness books that talk about food. This certainly seems to stand out to me, Daniela. Help us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to, needless to say, I read a ton of health and wellness books. My library is vast. And there's some great ones out there, but it's easy as an author and somebody who's really involved in health and wellness to encourage people to follow what you're doing. I know that that's not going to work for everybody. And so instead of telling them, hey, I eat this way, you should try it, it's working for me, it's here's all these options out there. And how do you know which type of diet plan is working, is going to work for you right now? Now, not 5 years from now, not 5 years ago, but right now. And so from there, I dig a little bit deeper into the history of nutrition, you know, and how our government seems to be a little bit off the right path right now as far as their advice to us. I talk about, you know, how a lot of us were brought up and the lessons that we learned in our families about nutrition. And you know, there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in the foods we eat, right?
Sure.
And there's a lot of ritual around meals. So it's the first chapter because it's so important to address how it affects people at their core. And I think one of the things that I still don't, not even sure I was able to give it enough power in the book, the idea that you're taking something from your world and you're bringing it inside of you. I mean, you know, it makes you look like at a bag of Cheetos a little bit differently when you
Yeah,
think about that.
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm putting this in my body, you know, and I don't think most of us take the time to ever consider that.
It was not until I became a Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn that I came to really understand the body is a temple. The body is sacred, no question about it. And that's forced me to think a little bit more about, you know, what am I putting into my pie hole? That's for sure. Now, I think you're so very unique, Danielle. And again, thanks for being with us today, because most people understand the concept of a personal trainer and a health coach, but you seem to be a functional health coach, you know, in doing what you do. Describe how your expertise really fits into all this, please.
Well, you know, I was a personal trainer to start, and then started studying nutrition. And neither of those things, you know, when I was a personal trainer, I had some clients who were seeing me 3 days a week, you know, and they were doing all the
Wow.
right things. Oh yeah, they were doing all the right things, and they were eating well, and they were trying to manage their stress, and they just looked the same, and they still didn't feel great. So I realized there's more going on here for these people. And so studying nutrition helped me a little bit, you know, okay, I could give them some better advice on the foods that they chose. But there were still many people who didn't feel well. And as a functional health coach, I have the tools to not just look at how you're eating and moving, but how are you sleeping? What is your genetic situation? What is your family history? What is your diet history? What is your stress level like? What is your digestion doing? Where are you on your hormones, you know? So all of these things come into play, and it's a very intricate 3D puzzle that I work on with my clients, like a Rubik's cube, you know? I can start putting these pieces together and go, okay, here's where we're missing something, you know? It's really like magic. I get so excited about it.
I can tell your passion, and it's really, really wonderful to hear it, certainly. Now, one of the things you say is the only constant is change. I think few of us would argue with this, yet you say most of us fail to remember this when it comes to our health goals. You know, the goal is to shift your message, your methods to help embrace the new version of yourself. Do you want to share a real life example of how we can all better do a real better job of doing this, please?
Well, I think just looking at yourself in the mirror, you know, I mean, I'm in my late 40s now, and it's not
Ah,
the
I
same.
would have never thought that. That's for sure, Danielle.
Thank you. But, you know, and I feel great about where I'm at with that. But it's certainly not the same thing I looked at the mirror, I looked in the mirror and saw 20 years ago, right? And, I have a lot of people I work with, even who, there's a cognitive disconnect there. It's like, wait a minute, I should be seeing that same young, fit, spry version of me.
Oh,
And so we're setting goals based on what we used to be, right? As opposed to who am I becoming? I don't want to be that same 27-year-old kid who, talked down to herself in her head all the time and just beat herself up.
sure.
No, I want to be the coolest 50-year-old version of me. I can't. I want to stand tall at 5'3", and I want to show my daughter how to live a strong and healthy life. That's not the same person. So why would my goals be the same?
Wow, you just hit me right between the eyes. Who am I becoming? A God willing, late August, I'll be 65.
Oh,
And
wow.
so I need to
Congratulations.
thank you because I've gotten to the point now where I can't do things that I did 10 and 20 years ago. And I can't look back and compare myself with that 40-year-old or 45-year-old. I need, who am I becoming? Oh, I'm going to remember that. Thank you very, very much, as well as everything else you've been saying with that. Wow, that really resonates, and I'm sure with our listeners as well. Now we're going to shift gears just a bit, if that's okay, because it's the month of April, National Stress Awareness Month. And
Okay.
you spent many years as a personal trainer and health coach in Silicon Valley, whereas I think there's a bit of
Yes.
stress out there. So did you see a lot of stress while working with clients there?
Oh,
And if so,
sure.
can you share some best practices or strategies you offered your clients who are working in such a high pressure, fast moving environment there?
For these people, I realized that their time with me was really like a break for them. I mean, it was the only hour out of their day where they were not in charge, and I was the one making the decisions. It was like,
Wow.
okay, I'm handing myself over to you. It's your turn to take over. And so, the first thing they need to do is, and keep in mind, I'm in a high stress situation myself right now. Life is coming at me a little faster than normal, which is
Sure.
great. But learning to work with the things that ground you and keep you who you are. I woke up this morning, I lied in my bed, and I did my meditation as I do every morning. And those 5 minutes are critical to my brain working well the rest of the day, for me not getting flustered and upset when things don't go well. That's an important part of my stress management. Going for a walk outside, even if I don't have time to exercise. It's a little bit is better than none. Spending a little time petting my dog, listening to my daughter tell me about, the drama with her friends in middle school. Whether I want to really listen to it or not, it's so good and grounding for me to feel that connection with her.
Sure.
Listening to my husband's busy day and what he has going on. All of these things, as simple and benign as they sound, when we're so stressed and running at such a high level, that we don't take a moment to make those connections, whether it's with the earth, with ourselves and our breath, or with the people we love, then it becomes overwhelming. And your health will be the first thing to go.
No question about that. Now, if you don't mind, I want to go back to your days in Silicon Valley with these people from the big world out there. Were they coming to, and I don't know if you were dealing with C-suite executives or
Oh,
more
sure.
common laborers or a combination, but I'm very curious, especially about these C-suite executives. Did they come to you? Did you find them? How did this, did they get to a point where they were saying, yeah, I think I'm having a bit of a breakdown or I need help? I'm fascinated by
Oh,
all this.
sure. Well, in all honesty, I'm still working with these people. I still
Wow,
live in the
that's
heart of
great.
Silicon Valley, and I do very little to any advertising. 99% of my clientele are word of mouth.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes their doctors suggest that they come talk to me. I've gotten quite a few clients that way. But usually, you work with one high level person and they have a good result, and then they tell their friends. And that's really the way it goes. And it does force you, as I mean, regardless of what type of customer service you're providing, if you're working in this area and you're going to be successful, I wake up every morning and I know what's happening in the news immediately. There's some
Wow.
new health headline that pops out. I have to read it immediately. I have to be ready for these conversations with solid answers that are non-dogmatic, and be ready to field these things, because the good and sideways of it, of working with people at that level, is they're so smart that they can smell when you're full of it. So
Oh my
you just
goodness.
got to be
Wow.
ready to and not be defensive. And I'm not saying that they're antagonistic people. I love it. I mean, my brain thrives on that push and these conversations. I mean, I can't even tell you some of the conversations I've had, and I literally can't tell you, but just the kinds of things that you go, wow, I can't believe I live here and I get to work with these amazing people. But you know what? I also work with just average Jane and Joe, and they're just as brilliant, and they ask just as great of questions. And at the end of the day, we're all the same person. We're all just trying to feel better. We all go to
Absolutely.
bed at night. We all put our pants on one leg at a time. And we all have similar struggles. And that's how I wrote this book, is for years, I was like, how could I possibly take my personalized one-on-one approach and work with more than one person at a time? It's so personal. And I realized that I was looking at it the wrong way. It's not how different everybody is. It's the similarities that we all have.
Oh.
Once I figured that out, the book started writing itself.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Sadly, we've only got about 4 minutes. I got two important questions to ask. There are some people, including myself, striving for a better work-life balance. Maybe one would like to sleep more, but they got a big project, et cetera, et cetera. What can individuals do? Is there one or two things you would suggest to find more healthy work-life balance? Please, Daniela.
Priority, meaning I've had to make some sacrifices in the last couple of weeks as this book just came out and things got very busy. I'm a little bit OCD. I like everything where it's supposed to be. I like my house clean and my, da da da. But you know what? Sometimes certain things need to go out the window, and that's okay. So, but making sure that you A, stay grounded, like I talked about earlier, have those connections with your loved ones. Do your breathing or praying or whatever it is that keeps you centered. And then prioritize. It's okay if the dishes are dirty for an extra couple hours. Little things like that. If your health, if getting on track with your health is your number one priority, it's okay to let a couple other things go to the side.
Wow. So setting those priorities can really make a big difference, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No question about that. We've saved the most important question for last. From where can our people purchase a copy of Own Your Wellness, giving you the tools to break through your health plateaus? How can they best follow you, please, Daniela?
Well, you can follow me on socials, Daniela Dayu Forest. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, you name it. Everything except for X. I'm done with that one. And you can buy the book anywhere books are sold. You can go Books a Million, Amazon. You can also go to my website at dfitlife.com and click on the book if you like. I would love to hear from people. If people have read the book, I would love to know how it's going. Please reach out to me. Go to my website or socials and just let me know how your journey's going. I'd love to hear these stories.
Terrific. Listeners, I want to give you the full name of Daniela, the spelling Danielella, Dayoub, Forrest. We've had a great Franciscan with us today. She could have held on all this magnificence. No, what did she do? She shared it. She wrote this great book. She came on, thank God for money. Now it's your turn. Please get out. This is Stress Management Awareness Month. Buy one for yourself, share. It's a great gift to give for this month of April. It's also a wonderful graduation gift. College graduates, master's graduates, etc. Please share the good, just like Daniela has done. Daniela, we can't thank you enough for coming on. Thank God for Monday today. We've been enlightened much more. I have to say, we've been inspired. You've inspired me and the listeners to really take accountability for our wellness, to own our wellness. Continued
Oh, this is
success,
really
joy,
fun.
contribution, certainly. And I really enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're getting them extra early to be with us all the way from Palo Alto, California.
Thank you.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Daniela does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.